Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
Familiar scene, unfortunately, and that's Tua Tagovailoa leaving the game with a concussion. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Wish we could come on. Perloff, I'm dying to talk about my Buffalo Bills winning last night in Miami, but it's really not the story, and in some ways not even relevant when you think about the concussion for Tua. If you didn't watch the game, very scary. Goes down, puts his head into DeMar Hamlin as he's running for a first down on a fourth down play, trying to make something happen after a terrible first two and a half quarters, basically, where he's just was not having a good game. And he goes down kind of in that fencer's position where that arm goes up and the hand goes up, and immediately you know something is very wrong. They didn't cart him off the field, though. He was able to walk off the field, but diagnosed with a concussion right away.
Yeah, it's an interesting. I almost feel guilty for going into a lull on Tua, because 2 years ago, all we talked about, the entire narrative about Tua was his concussion history and his health, and should he keep playing?
Yeah.
Then last year, I think we got fooled into it. At least I got fooled into a sense of security around Tua. It was weird. You and I did talk about that he lost a bunch of weight this offseason to be quicker. I think we did say, oh, well, that feels counterintuitive in the sense that he was healthy all of last year, had a little muscle, especially around his neck area. Now he looks thinner. So I think it's a reminder once again, like, you can never forget about how big an issue this is in the sport. And it's everyone's one random hit away from having real serious issues.
You're right. And the one random hit I get. But the thing is with Tua is now this is a pattern. I know that we didn't have one last year, a documented concussion. But if you go back to 2022, where he had four of them, you kind of have to say, yeah, maybe we were lulled to sleep. It was only a matter of time. It feels less random with him because now we have this established history, right?
Right.
So I think when you're talking about his future, it's a real discussion. Should he ever play again? You know, we asked you on X at Maggie and Pearl, should Tua play again? And I'm actually very surprised by the results. Overwhelmingly, 85% of people say no. And you know, I think it's because we know so much now about concussions and especially the future effects. The guy has made a lot of money. He will be able to live comfortably if he, you know, doesn't make any risky investments and, you know, all the other ways that athletes can go broke. But if he lives like a good, he can have a good life if he walks away. It just doesn't feel like we're trending in that direction with him. I think he wants to play, loves football too much, says he's too young. Even though he contemplated retirement before, I just think he's going to do everything he can to get back on the field, and I just don't know if that's the right move.
Can you imagine having the superpower where you're one of the top 20 quarterback the most important position in American sports, and you're one of the best at it? Even last night, there were certain plays I'm like, oh, man, Tua is so quick, gets rid of the ball. I can't imagine being masterful at football and not at 26 years old, not being able to play again. That would be, forget the money. Like, it'd be so hard to sit it out knowing that you're still so good at it. So I expect him to try everything to come back. I'd be shocked if he walked away. I understand the 85% saying no. I probably would vote no too. But in reality, when you're in their shoes, I think a lot of us would try to play.
You know, here's the thing, though, about, like, yeah, he is a top of his profession and you want to play and you've dedicated your life to this. But let's be honest, you know, he's gotten a lot out of this as well. You know, he won a national championship at Alabama. He had a great college career. He's going to be a legend in Tuscaloosa for the rest of his life. He was a first round pick. He is a starter in the NFL. He did get the big contract. They showed the confidence in him to give him that contract. Like, he's checked a lot of boxes. Yeah, it's an incomplete in terms of your NFL career. But, you know, so many people would switch places for him for all the things he has accomplished, as opposed to let's look at not only looking at the things he hasn't accomplished.
Absolutely true. But think about him in 2 years. Say he retires now. He's going to be sitting there on his couch. He's going to feel fine. He's going to be watching football on Sunday and being like, I'm better than that guy. The itch to play again is going to be hard to scratch, because there's no, I always wonder how athletes retire, because there is no glory like being in that field with 80,000 people cheering for you. Like, that's probably irreplaceable. If I'm Tua, I think the draw to come back is going to be way too strong, regardless of the logic. You know, you can say to him, you're going to really risk your future health, and consciously he can take that in, but I'm sure emotionally he's going to want to play.
No, I get it, and you're right. But, you know, maybe, listen, Is there a thing where he sits out for a while and then he does actually come back? I don't know. I mean, I don't know how that impacts your long-term health, though, because, again, it feels inevitable that he's going to get another concussion. Maybe playing with the guardian cap could be a thing. Maybe that helps. It would help us all. Like, as viewers, we'd probably feel a little bit better if he had some extra protection. And maybe that starts a trend and other quarterbacks start wearing them.
Well, I think that's a great question. He has to answer why wasn't he wearing one?
I know, hindsight, right? I mean, he stayed healthy all 17 games last year.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But so I said earlier in the show, five guys wore it last week. I wonder if more wear it this week after watching Thursday Night Football.
Maybe. 855-212-4227. Should Tua continue his NFL career? We want to hear from you. Okay. We mentioned the theme of the show today, maybe trash talk. Not so much Perloff and myself, although maybe. You jerk. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe. But let's get to the trash talk that's happening both on the college level and the pros. Let's start with the pros. And this is the Kansas City Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals. It's obviously getting very personal. It has been personal for a while. Burrowhead Stadium, the mayor of Cincinnati getting involved a couple years ago, and then the Chiefs really shutting them up. So here's Cam Taylor-Britt, obviously from the Bengals, who I don't know why he's volunteering this. He's really just stirring the pot. A lot of bulletin board material talking about Xavier Worthy.
That's about it. He can run straight. Run jet sweeps and just run straight. He can't do too much else, so that's about it. Feel like you put your hands on him. He's only 100-some pounds. So if you put hands on him, you'll stop the speed. So basically get hands on him.
Burrowhead my ass!
Here's more from Cam Taylor-Britt admitting that, yeah, of course he dislikes the Chiefs.
I don't like them. You know, I don't think I like a lot of teams, but, you know, we see them a lot. We see them a lot and it didn't turn out the way we wanted to our last time. So, yeah, of course, you know, like you said, some guys think about it. I'm not thinking about it, but, yeah, playing those guys is always exciting, man.
Okay. You jabroni!
More from Cam Taylor-Britt. Says he plans to do a lot of trash talking on Sunday.
A lot of talking in this game?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Don't shut up.
There you go. It wasn't just Cam Taylor-Britt. You've heard of Jamar Chase, Pearl. Says everyone knows they dislike the Chiefs.
Yeah, the energy's there, both sides. I'm sure they know we don't like them. They know they don't like us. So, I mean, the energy's already there. It's not really much we got to say now to this point. It's been 4 years now, so everyone gets it.
Smart idea, dumb idea for the Bengals coming off a bad week one. They look terrible. They lost to the Patriots. Chiefs look like they're in midseason form. Bad idea for the Bengals to stir the pot here?
Well, this is a cornerback. You know, whatever goes on between defensive backs and wide receivers, that's a whole different thing. Like the amount of talk that those guys do to each other, it's a battle.
I'm Joe.
So I see what he's doing. He's trying to get in the guy's head, especially a young player. I don't think this is a bad idea because now maybe Xavier Worthy tries to do too. I'm sure he saw this, and I'm sure he's going to try and do too much. Maybe the Chiefs, you know, Mahomes is going to push the ball to his young receiver. Like, the Chiefs are so good at running their stuff. Like, I'll bet you the Chiefs are really good at ignoring all the trash talk and running whatever offense they want. But I think he's trying to get them off their balance. Because right now, the way the Bengals played last week and the way the Chiefs played last week, like, they need to try something desperate. Like,
it can't hurt.
They just lost to the Patriots, Maggie. Talk trash, do something. You got to say something. Just don't go in there without T. Higgins and get slaughtered.
This is beyond stupid. Like, when are the Bengals going to learn their lesson on this? You call it Burrowhead, you go in, you lose the AFC Championship game. That's when you tone it down just a touch.
They were really close.
They were really close. Yeah, what do they say? Horseshoes, hand grenades? I mean, I think this is beyond silly. Beyond. Like, you're going to poke the bear. You think you're getting Xavier Worthy off his game? Are you getting Patrick Mahomes off his game, or are you going to make him upset? Kelsey off his game? You're going to make him upset. I don't love this from the Bengals. Like, you've got to win again. It's been a while. Like, since you last were in the AFC Championship game, your rival won the Super Bowl. They've won the last two. You've got to, like, first go in and make a statement, win, then talk. Don't do it heading into the game.
Yeah, I mean, you just lost to the Patriots. You are not a rival to the Kansas City Chiefs right now. You are desperately trying to get a wild card spot. So I am immediately downgrading them. You had Jamar Chase hold out and then not produce in week one. He said he was sick. And you have T. Higgins in a controversial injury whatever. I mean, you're a mess right now.
Yep.
Who is the guy, Trey Wingo, who said they were bad vibes all over Cincinnati?
He did say that. No Someone he trusts in the building said the vibes are off.
Mayor
you
DeBrony.
Know that rivalry you're talking about? That doesn't feel like it's on right now. I feel like the Chiefs are at the top of the mountain, and they can't even see the Bengals. They're so far down right now.
Well, that's why I said this is a very important game for the Bengals. You and I talked about this yesterday. It's week two, but I think it's an important game for the Bengals because I agree with you. They lose this game, they lose it badly. It's like the Chiefs just left them in the dust.
No, I think this is, first of all, Zach Taylor's never won in week two.
That's weird, right?
They start out 0-2 every year and make the playoffs.
Don't you have to like self-scout on what's going on if that's become your trend?
The NFL schedule makers sure aren't helping them out, sending them to Arrowhead in week two this year. But I don't think the Bengals are in the place where you're saying that they have to show up against Kansas City to show that they're in that caliber. Honestly, I think this team is like, man, we better beat Washington the next week. They just lost to New England. What are you talking about, Kansas City? You have no right to call yourself a rival there. You got to sneak into the wild card of this brutal AFC North. I don't even think that's a question right now.
Yeah, and it's funny because if we're going back to the Miami-Buffalo game last night where Buffalo wins 31-10, Tua gets hurt, he gets a concussion, and obviously this is the biggest story of the day. But I'll say it. I think they made too much of this game, Miami. You know, I don't know if the Bengals are making too much of the game going into Kansas City, but and they're not division rivals. But I thought the Dolphins made too much of this game. It was too much about we've got to make this statement that we can prove and make up for last season when they lost week 18 to Buffalo, and that Buffalo kind of owns them. And Josh Allen has these incredible numbers against the Miami Dolphins. He's basically dining out on a lot of teams, but certainly Miami. And I think they made too much of it. And I think that's what leads to Tua, who was having a terrible game before he got hurt, kind of taking the risk, the unnecessary risk that he took, which ultimately led to him getting a concussion.
But you understand, like, this game is way more important to the Dolphins than this Chiefs game is to the Bengals.
Mm.
It's night and day.
Because of the division?
The division, the fact that the Bengals have proven that they can go from 0-2 to the Super Bowl. Like, I think the Bengals, and also the Bengals are geared for later in the season when they have Chase and Higgins.
Yeah, right now, kind of opposite of the Dolphins.
Everyone knew that they basically didn't have a preseason. They're training wheels early on the season. This is not, whatever the Kansas City is going to see in week two, it's not going to be the same team in week 16 if Burrow is healthy, right? Because they just don't, their super weapon is having Higgins and Chase, and they just don't have them. I know doesn't feel like Chase was really back last week, but I think there is actually a real rivalry. Talking about trash talk.
Yeah.
I think there's an interesting topic that we really see differently.
What's that?
I agree with the Bengals guy. I do not see Xavier Worthy as a full-service wide receiver. You said he's the next Tyreek Hill. Even last night, watch Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill goes 100 miles an hour to the left, 100 miles an hour to the right, 100 miles an hour down the field. Like, he moves like a joystick. Now, I'm curious. Xavier Worthy is the fastest straight-ahead runner in NFL history. Does that make him a great receiver? I'm dying to know how many targets is he going to get. Anybody can run a jet sweep. I'm not giving anybody credit for that.
Right.
I'm saying, like, is he going to be Tyreek Hill? Is he a massive, like, 9-target weapon? Or is he just going to once in a while have an end around?
Well, are we talking about him game two of his professional career? Or are we talking about Tyreek Hill when he's Tyreek Hill's age or when he's established in the league and he's 5, 6, 7 years in? Because he could be a different guy.
Like, well, after
you develop your players, right?
I'm just saying, after three targets in week one, to compare it to even say him in the same sentence as Tyreek Hill, which I get, it just feels like, Rich, I'm dying to know how they use him this week. Like, is he gonna catch mid-range passes? Is he gonna be targeted?
I think getting in the end zone, I don't know if anyone cares how he gets there.
I don't know.
Other guys who can help them move the ball, though. Like, we've talked about the Chiefs. They want to run the ball with Pacheco. You've always got Kelsey there to bail you out. You know, they have enough guys, and with Mahomes' brilliance, they can always move the ball. And so, however you want to use Worthy.
So he's like a secret weapon, you're saying?
I think so. And what if he, you know, when I say shades Tyreek Hill, like, let's give him a couple of years and see if he develops into that joystick. He's in the perfect place to do it.
I mean, I think that's hard to say about any receiver because we've never seen another Tyreek Hill. I mean, there was no Tyreek Hill before Tyreek Hill. There's not going to be another Tyreek Hill after Tyreek Hill because Tyreek Hill does so many different things. And I'm not saying he's the best receiver, but he's such a unique skill set. There's no way Xavier Worthy's going to be that. That there's no upside. Like, it's not going to happen.
Man.
I mean, Tyreek Hill.
Mark that down.
There's no way Xavier Worthy is going to be the number one receiver in the NFL.
Well, I don't know if he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Yeah, you're right. I mean, we still got a lot to go. It's game two. But game one, he scored two touchdowns. They used him a lot of different ways. He was a decoy on some things, too, where he attracted some attention. I think he's in the perfect spot to become, if it's not exactly Tyreek Hill, maybe he's Tyreek Light. Maybe he's poor man's Tyreek Hill. Like, that's also not a bad thing.
Or is he rich man's Mecole Hardman? That's what I think he, it, that's the question. Is he end up closer to Mecole Hardman or Tyreek Hill? I think it's TBD because Tyreek Hill will catch 11 balls in a game. I don't know. Is he just basically a fancy Mecole Hardman? Who, by the way, did score the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl.
I was going to say, love a Mecole Hardman. 855-212-4227. That's the question we're asking you today. Should Tua play football anymore? At Maggie and Pearl on X. Again, you can call us 855-212-4227. You can also watch the show. Perloff and I not matching today. Kind of close. Not really.
Similar in tones.
Yeah, similar tones. We have this synced up thing where we end up wearing the same clothes all the time. Same collars, not clothes.
By the way, I got home pretty early last night. We went to a Sports Illustrated party last night. I was home in 45 minutes, and we heard the harrowing story of your electric car running out of juice and barely making home in an hour 45. But it did take me, I was an hour and a half late to the party because it took me, my GPS said an hour at 1 o'clock. Then I get in the car at 3 o'clock. Yeah. It says 1 hour, 57 minutes.
And people kept asking me where you are, and I get it because you and I do a show together every day, but it's like, hey, Maggie, where's Perloff? I'm like, I don't know. He's stuck in traffic. I don't know. Like, oh, that's such a shame. I'm like, he'll be here. It's fine.
Oh, my God, the reaction. First of all, by the way, so Maggie, how long were you at Sports Illustrated?
8 years.
Yeah, so I was there for 10 years.
Yeah.
Apparently, like, we're twins, according to everybody. Like, I mean, we've been doing this show for almost 3 years, and now we're like, you ever see that movie where Matt Damon was tied to Greg Kinnear or the Farrelly Brothers movie?
Yeah.
Like, we're Siamese twins. Yeah. Like, people are talking to me. It was like, yeah, tell Maggie this, tell Maggie that. I'm like, you know, I have an actual wife and a family. I have more going on than just knowing Maggie. I know other people. I do other things in my life. Like, it's amazing. Did you get that same vibe? Like, you could talk to me. Like, we worked together for 10 years.
Yeah,
dude.
No. I got a lot of, like, how's Perloff?
Yeah.
Like that. Like, he's great. We're doing the show together. We love it.
There was a lot of, oh, man, I love the show. Now, where does it broadcast again?
Yeah. We should mention it. Sirius XM Channel 158, youtube.com/AffinitySportsNet, all across the country.
We should have came out with a card because, like, there are a lot of, like, kind of an older crowd. They were not the most technically savvy group.
Yeah.
This is how you dial us up. This is how you go to the podcast. This is how you watch us on Infinity Sports Radio YouTube Network.
Yep.
Like, we should have had This Is a Different Places because it was cool, but there were some older gentlemen there.
This is my dream. I want to come back as a former Sports Illustrated writer in the next life.
Oh,
when they had the bar card out and everyone was millionaires.
They all cashed in the late 90s when Time Warner and AOL merged.
Yep.
And they were millionaires. Now sports writers are like, what?
It's so funny. I was talking to a couple people and, you know, sometimes it's delicate about saying, so like, if you don't know, like, so what are you up to? Because that can be kind of mean if someone's like, I'm clearly writing for the New York Times. Like, how do you not know that? And in this crowd, that can really be the answer. So you don't want to ask too much. But for some of the older people, I felt a little bit okay asking. So I asked this one guy, I was like, so, you know, what are you up to these days? And he goes, absolutely nothing. Like, good for you, man. Just hanging at the lake house.
Sitting on a bed of money.
One day.
Yeah, no, I don't think everyone, the thing about working in a place like Sports Illustrated, no matter when you get there, everyone's like, oh, you missed the party.
Everyone says that.
Sports talk radio, like, oh, you missed the party.
It. Yeah.
That's a thing.
We show up everywhere January 1st.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just missed it.
And I feel bad for the, you know, Pat and Manny and EJ. Like, you really missed the party.
No, they're starting the party. EJ, you would have loved this last night because I know you're a journalism junkie. This would have been your room.
Yeah, and I grew up just like idolizing Sports Illustrated, like most people my age who love this industry. So, yeah, even thinking about the names that I'm sure were in that building make me think, would have been nice to get an invite to that. And of course I wouldn't get that. But I'm just saying, like, it would have been nice to be a fly on the wall.
You would have liked it. Unlike Pat and Manny, there were no models there. They were not honoring the swimsuit issue, which they should have been, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, that's it funded the magazine for a long time.
It definitely did.
I think that would have been, by the way, it was fun seeing like Seth Davis, but I definitely would have taken Kate Upton.
I think just thinking about that, I'll wet my pants. Who would have been more popular, Armin Katayan or Emily Ratajkowski?
I couldn't believe it. So I saw Armin Katayan was on the list. He was, I don't remember him at Sports Illustrated. How long was he there?
I don't know. We
must have been back in the day,
Yeah, we didn't overlap, but that's funny. The only person who may be as good looking as a swimsuit model is Tom Verducci, who was also there.
But also, too, just the most pleasant human being. Just talking to him, you feel at ease.
I know. I tried to get a World Series pick out of him. Didn't work.
Yeah, he's great. I think the biggest stars there were Andrew Perloff, Tom Verducci, Seth Davis.
Yeah. John Wertheim.
And John Wertheim.
The 60 Minutes course.
It's funny because we talk about it. It's like the greatest writing ever. Like the three guys who are on TV all the time are just like, everybody's like, oh man, there's Tom Verducci.
Well, at one point too, they want to take a group photo. And the man who happened to be there was a man who's not a household name, but you'll know when I say Neil Leifer. Who is one of the top five greatest photographers of all time. If you guys are familiar with the photo of Muhammad Ali standing with a one glove looking over Sonny Liston, that is Neil Leifer's photo, right? The iconic photo of Ali just over Liston looking down at him, like making the fist. And he's there last night, and they're trying to take this photo, and I'm like, let Neil take it.
Wait,
the greatest photographer, one of them in the world. Like, and that's just one of Neil's photos. He also has the top-down photo of Ali. He was basically Ali's like personal photographer.
Then why was it was some guy on a wobbly chair with like a BlackBerry taking a like photo. This was the most disorganized photo I've ever seen in my life.
Basically like one of the waiters took the photo. I'm like, we have one of the greatest photographers of all time.
No one said smile. We're all milling around and nobody could see anybody. It's the worst. Have you seen the photo yet?
It's impossible. Anyway. I just pulled up that Muhammad Ali photo. It's an amazing photo.
Yo le iba a grabar, pero en baja calidad. Y ella me dijo que no está. Una maldita loca, una ratata. Ella lo que quiere que la ponga en 4K.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I did not get the memo that it was a Dance Friday. Manny and Pat on the other side of the glass. There's way too much movement. Maggie and I are tired. This is not going to work.
But happy to be here. But I get it. This is a banger of a song, Manny. Who is this?
This would be El Alfa. Dominican dembow
Pearl
artist.
Jam?
Yes, yes. Okay. Dominican version of Pearl Jam.
Is this daughter in Spanish?
Yeah, this is Dominican Eddie Vedder.
Yeah. Can we bring Crash by Dave Matthews for the next break so
no.
We can mellow out on this side?
I'll give you a better choice than that. Deep cuts only.
Yeah, one better choice is in. It'll put us to sleep in 10 minutes rather than 5.
Also, thanks. Deep cuts, what's the difference? They all sound the same.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What you say? Yeah.
He's leaving. Oh, no.
Facial. Total
Why
facial.
Can you come back with the other song by Dave Matthews? What's that other
you guys
one?
Guys get a different joke. I mean,
no.
Seriously.
I can't.
Boom! One hit wonders. Be creative.
No, sir.
Well, it's basically Dave Matthews. What he got the one hit.
What's that other song?
Sounds the same.
The other massive
hit. They're going into the Hall of Fame next month. You don't go into the Hall of Fame as a one hit wonder,
oh,
Maggie.
God. No, not the Hall of Fame.
Bon Jovi kind of did. Well, no, Bon Jovi got
Wow.
One. Actually, did you see that crazy story that Bon Jovi saved that woman or at least talked her literally off the ledge on a bridge in Nashville?
Yeah, I did
That's
see
incredible.
That.
Incredible. That's amazing.
Did you see the footage?
Oh. So he was shooting a music video on the bridge.
But
right?
I saw like there's like, you know, a police camera or a traffic camera on the bridge and you can see the lady. She's over the fence. So she's on the outside of the bridge and he walks over like, you know, hands out like slow and then talks to her. And then he literally
pulls her
over the fence and then hugs her.
Do you think he said I'm Bon Jovi? Because I think in that point, that's the right thing to do. I think you say like, hey, it's me, John Bon Jovi. You know, like I think it's weird when people are like, do you have any idea who I am? Like, that's the most obnoxious thing you could say. But I think in that instance, you do have to tell them like, hey, like identify yourself. Maybe get a little starstruck. Maybe you feel like, all right, I matter enough for John Bon Jovi to come over and be interested.
Do you have to say we've got to hold on to what we've got?
Don't do it, bro. I
thought
you were going to go living on a prayer.
We make it or not.
This is a dark road.
Is that bad?
There's so much material.
I pulled up.
Let's do it off the air.
I'm walking away.
I did pull up. I'm going to back Maggie on an earlier take. I pulled up. What's the other song by Dave Matthews? The Space Between Us and Crash. Not a ton of difference there.
Have you heard either one of them?
Of course. It's the. I heard. Yeah, my entire life. It's on the radio every. It's on right now. Of course, I've heard that song.
See, by the way, Manny and Pat, right
are you guys Dave Matthews
No,
fans?
Of course they're not. They're 9 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, they missed it. Dave Matthews concerts are very fun, though.
But you know,
I don't want to hear that. Maggie, no. No.
Why are they fun?
There's no backtracking. There's no hedging.
You can do to make the music sound good?
No.
Wow. Pat.
No. How much you can drink? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, she means
there
smoke.
Bands, there are bands I like that a lot of people accuse of it sounding the same. Like, so, I love the Grateful Dead, and people think that all that sounds the same, or Fish, but I think it sounds very different.
Can I, honest question, like, what band sounds different with every song?
Great
a
point.
Band is a band. Like, Pearl Jam sounds like Pearl Jam. Taylor Swift sounds like Taylor Swift. What band's songs are different
Radiohead.
Every single time?
The Strokes?
I totally agree with Bogus.
The Strokes, every song is the same song.
No, stop it.
I mean, the Beatles is obviously famous having a variety. I think the Rolling Stones sound different.
Bob Dylan sounds the same, but he has a wide variety. I don't know, Springsteen, did that stuff sound different?
I think Springsteen sounds like Springsteen.
Yeah, I mean, you know their songs, but I'm not saying anything bad about Dave Matthews.
No, I will admit that the initial batch of songs that made them popular in the mid-90s, they sound like the band in that time. But like, what? I don't understand the argument in general because I don't still know a band that plays a different sound and a different song every single time. Like, everybody sounds like them because they're them.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't get it.
I'm not challenging you or being difficult, but there's got to be a band out there that sounds different. Like, there's got to be a band with a wide variety.
But I also can play you five different Dave Matthews songs right now that don't sound the same because some sound like hard rock songs. There's like love ballads. There's the ones that you guys know from the radio. Like, Crash and Satellite do not sound the same.
Yeah.
Other than Dave Matthews' voice, like, they're different songs.
Well, this is why I would say Radiohead, because Kid A does not sound like the Bends. And that's a band that evolved. Now we're just talking about music. 855-212-4227.
Evolved from depressing to very depressing.
Right. Well, I mean, you know.
And by the way, those two songs, you could play either song, Crash or Satellite. What's the song? Satellite?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They sound so much alike. Go ahead.
Fair point, Bogus. Let's quickly hit Steven, who's in Tennessee, wants to talk about Tua. We're asking today, should Tua retire after the latest concussion? Steven, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. When in doubt, I would say yes, he should retire. I think the NFL should do things to encourage him, perhaps, and the Dolphins, if that means giving him cap assistance or whatever, to step away as long as he needs to permanently if necessary. I mean, I'd hate to see the guy end up like Steve McMichael.
Yeah, I mean, Steve,
great
Steven,
point.
Thank you. And you almost feel like at this point, we can't be surprised if later in life you hear Tua's got issues. He's I'm hoping this doesn't happen, obviously. He's got good people around him, his family. But if you heard something like he was battling depression, would you be like, oh, well, I'm so shocked about that.
Nope.
And we watched this happen. Let's get to Bogus's headlines. Sorry for insulting your favorite band.
You're not. The headlines are Cart Girl at a golf course in high school by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code MNP to get $50 instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Whether it is the third or fourth concussion for Tua, it's three or four too many. The Dolphin QB hurt again on Thursday Night Football, running for a first down, putting his head down, and running into Bills safety DeMar Hamlin. Tua again in that awful fencing position, his right arm frozen away from his body for a moment. He eventually walked off the field into the locker room on his own. Josh Allen hated seeing it from the Bills sideline.
Very sad. That's, you know, the worst part of the game. You know, nothing but love and prayers sending to him and his family, and hopefully everyone's sending those because he's going to need them. And it's the worst part of the game.
Before getting hurt, Tua threw three picks, one of which returned for points. His fins still unable to solve these Bills. The 31-10 final in Miami, improving Buffalo to 14-2 in this series under head coach Sean McDermott.
All three phases factored in the win, which is good to see. And still a lot of work to do, but we'll enjoy this plane ride home and and the players will be able to get some rest, and some of the coaches as well and staff, so it'll be good.
Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel will address the media again this morning, so we should have some kind of Tua update then. Now, last Thursday night, Ravens linebacker Kyle Van Noy suffered an eye injury in Kansas City. He then called the Chiefs unprofessional because it took an hour for the on-call ophthalmologist to see him at the stadium. The NFLPA agreed with Van Noy yesterday, saying it should not have taken that long for him to be checked out. The NFL says Van Noy was handled correctly and is disappointed the union would, quote, publicize unsupported claims.
Do you remember when they did that survey of all the NFL players in The Athletic, and it was like, who has the worst facilities? And the Chiefs got an F.
Yeah.
And apparently they've been promising to like redo the locker room and stuff like that, and they've never done it. It's like, what is it? Look like a war zone in there? Because Kyle Van Noy said it was awful. He said, I understand why they got an F. Their facilities are terrible.
But the NFL basically called him a liar last night.
Which is crazy. Like, I've been to Arrowhead. I've never been in the locker room at Arrowhead. I was there for a different thing that we happened to be doing. Is it like that bad?
Well, I think this was just like somebody was there and took his time coming to see him. That's
the
general kind of story from Van Noy, that he should have been seen immediately to make sure there was nothing really wrong with his eye. He has a broken orbital bone, and that just no one came to see him. And the league apparently says that's not the case. I don't know what else unsupported claims would be. The claim is
it either happened or didn't happen. Right.
If you use the last 16 games, Aaron Judge would be on pace for zero homers this season. But Aaron Boone not worried about this career-long drought.
He's got 51 homers on the year. I mean, homers, even for guys like him, they still come in bunches, and you're going to have those stretches.
The Yankees won without Judge last night, 2-1 in 10 over the Red Sox.
Aaron Judge.
Lead on Baltimore in the East is now 2 full games, while the Sox drop 4.5 behind the Twins for the last wild card spot. Sabrina Ionescu, 20 points, 6 assists in the Liberty's 99-67 win in Dallas. And apparently playing for the single-A Fort Myers Mighty Muscles ain't all it's cracked up to be. Mighty Muscles catcher Derek Bender accused of telling some opposing hitters last week what was coming so they'd get hits and score runs and get Fort Myers season over with. Yeah, this is not this is not a betting story. He didn't have the under or the money line. He just didn't want to play baseball anymore, telling teammates he just wanted to go home. The Twins have reportedly cut the pick from this past June, but it sounds like Bender still gets to keep his nearly $300,000 signing bonus.
That's amazing.
Minute. Yeah.
He was sabotaging his own team just because he was homesick?
I don't know about homesick. He told his teammates he just wanted the season to be over.
And for the hate of the game.
Isn't it over in like a week?
Well, it's over now. This happened last week, they finished it over the weekend with him apparently sitting in exile in the bullpen, not in the dugout.
Should have been a dunk tank.
Yeah. I guess he was afraid of them sneaking into the playoffs. He wanted to make sure they lost or something. But yeah, he just didn't want to be there anymore.
I'm sorry. This sounds like a story that's a gambling story that's disguised as not a gambling story. But can you bet on minor league baseball?
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
Hey, Pat.
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, that's ready to go.
No. I've never bet on minor league baseball.
I got the Scranton Wilkes-Barre
Roughriders tonight against the Syracuse Mets. Who you got tonight? I've never bet on minor league baseball, but I know you can. So that's got to why else would you tip pitches to the other team just because you're pissed off at the seat? Like, what?
But you can with a bookie. You can't legally, though, right?
Maybe. You're a professional baseball player.
You can't legally bet AAA baseball?
Well, yeah. But
no, this is single A.
Oh, single A, I would say there's no shot.
Maybe in Vegas. Certainly not on the apps. Like,
unless you're taking some kind of offshore money.
What's the total for tonight's Hudson Valley Renegades game against the Brooklyn Cyclones?
The Iron Pigs. That's the...
Yeah.
This is fishy. That would also be an extremely blatant way.
Why not just go home if you wanted to go home?
Also, you're in single A. Something tells me you ain't making it to the majors, pal.
Yeah, right? Like, if you really were that fed up with the season, can't you just, I mean, I'm not making light of it, but like, can't you just be like, mental health, I need a break, I'm done with the year?
Or just be like, my arm hurts.
Yeah.
I don't know, Rodney Dangerfield, this thing.
Right. I can't play skip.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, my arm.
Yeah, I got the black lung.
That's a sick reference, Bogus. You got the best references, bro.
don't make up for the Dave Matthews hate.
I know. Now we're all trying to get back on Bogus's good side because we seriously insulted his favorite band. I mean, Bogus. you spent a lot of money and time seeing this band, and we've all made fun of it.
You can make fun of it. I just need better material. Like the other day, Pearl was like, isn't everybody just like stoned at the concert? How do they even make video social media posts about the, like, no, it's not, we're not sitting there in like LSD circles spinning around.
Also, that's kind of like the sign you're at a good concert. Sorry.
I don't know. It's not the hottest take I've ever heard that everyone gets high at a Dave Matthews concert.
No.
I don't feel like I was coming out of nowhere with that.
No, you said people were so messed up that how are they making concert videos and social? I forgot how we got on this, but
yeah.
Your take was we were too blitzed to write on Twitter that we liked the show or post a concert video.
Well, and then Bose is like, no, the Dave Matthews Band fans have an excellent social media content.
They do. Yeah.
I mean, don't you think that's a bit nerdy to brag about your favorite rock band's social media content?
I wasn't bragging. I was correcting your mistaken point.
Yes, you were like, yes, they optimize their platforms, including TikTok. You said it like you were in a boardroom explaining the corporate strategy.
I showed up with the facts.
He gave you a PowerPoint.
Yeah, dude, this was rock and roll music. You don't brag because they have a good Instagram.
Again, you said we were basically laying in puddles of our own vomit, so therefore we couldn't do anything about the show. Yes, I'm going to correct that. You started it.
What is your problem,
dude? I think
this is
a good question, right? Do all bands sound the same? Do all good bands sound the same?
Like, no.
I hate this, by the way. Like, Bogus is 100% right. I feel like if you are a fan of an artist, you know that they have a catalog of music that sounds very different. But if you're just like someone who just listens to the radio, just runs into their songs every now and then, the songs that you get exposed to probably sound the same because they're going to just replay the songs that were successful before. I hate this with every genre because they do it with hip hop too. They do it with rap. I'll hear a million times how much Rick Ross sounds the same. I say, guess what? He does it really well what he does, and he also does have songs that don't sound like this. Right, but if he did, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, who cares? It's
You hate this. Like,
I bothers you. I do.
Like, you're sitting with your fiance at dinner and like, EJ, what's bothering you? Well, here's the deal.
I believe EJ will do this, actually.
You know what I mean? Andrea has sat through way, way too many rants. The fact that she still said yes to me over these ridiculous rants I have about random honestly, things.
She should be up You'd for be statehood, surprised. Dude.
Honestly, exactly. Andrea's like your P1. You know, it's like, that's what we call people who listen to every radio show. She is, man. She likes it. It's great.
I call her the special counsel, just like Roman Reigns, for a reason. Like, she's legit the special counsel.
I guarantee she does not like it when you talk about the New York Knicks. I can tell you that right now. She might, is she a huge Knicks fan?
Well, she's not a huge Knicks fan, but the one thing she did get me to do was she said, you need more positive reinforcement. The way you talk about certain people on this team, Julius Randle, is not healthy. You're not helpful. I've shifted.
It's a mental illness.
I have to shift in terms of how I talk about this team. Like, I'll be yelling something, she'd be like, "Hey, what? Calm down.
Oh, I can relate.
This is not helping."
Bam! You and dunks it in your face.
By the way, I still can't get over how unintentionally hilarious Perloff was before when he said to Bogus, "What is your problem?"
I think it's you.
He was beating the argument.
Yeah, for now, it's early in the show. I'm sure there are three other people who are going to make you angry before we're done.
What is your problem,
I think
dude?
He
was beating in the argument, so he just goes, "What is
your..." Dude, chill. Welcome back. So, pull behind the curtain for a minute. We have a document that we use before every show called, like, our pre-show notes. And I love when I look in the pre-show notes and EJ has written, Maggie was right.
Well.
Maggie was right.
Well, we shall see.
And what I may have been right about, and I'll revel in it, but, you know, I'm not taking a lot of pleasure in it, which is what's going on in Green Bay. When I pointed out that trading for a backup quarterback and Malik Willis, you know, 2.5-ish weeks before the season, when Willis is not somebody who has a lot of NFL starts under his belt. I think it was, 4 NFL starts that he had, Perloff. He's not the seasoned veteran who could come in like Baker Mayfield basically came, you know, got traded to the Rams or signed by the Rams and had to learn the playbook on the flight.
Right.
Malik Willis doesn't have that kind of institutional knowledge. He just has no experience. So I thought, oh, this is maybe a little dicey here for Green Bay to change up their backup quarterback. And you guys said you're an alarmist. They're not going to need him. And now, lo and behold, here we are. Jordan Love gets hurt, and Malik Willis is starting on Sunday.
I think our logic was, if Jordan Love gets hurt, what are you doing anyway? You're not going to win anything.
Well, you could hold the fort for a week or two, and now the Green Bay Packers are actually a 3-point underdog at home against the Indianapolis Colts, who have a quarterback who also has very little experience in Anthony Richardson. I mean, that's a lot of faith to have that Anthony Richardson, who is so fun to watch, Perloff, but wildly inconsistent, that they can come into Lambeau?
Wow.
And be a 3-point favorite.
Those four starts have not gone well with Malik Willis. I totally understand this. By the way, the guy they cut, Sean Clifford, had no starts in the NFL.
He's been in the building for 2 years, hasn't he?
No, he was on the Ravens, wasn't he? I don't think he's been
maybe
in two
year.
Years. He was there last year, but he's never played either. He has, he has 3 rushes for -2 yards in his career. That's about it.
I think you're mistaking him with the other Penn State quarterback legend, Trace McSorley. He spent time with the Baltimore Ravens. Sean Clifford's been in
Sean
Green Bay.
Oh, right.
He was a draft pick of
Trace McSorley. Right. Sean Clifford's not an NFL quarterback.
Well, yes, Sean Clifford is, in fact, in the NFL. Yeah.
No, I mean, but he's definitely, like, I get cutting that guy. In my mind, I was picturing Trace McSorley. Are they the same exact person?
No,
has anyone seen them together?
Yes, I've seen them multiple times in the same room. No, they are not the... They're completely different people. But, yeah.
But, well, here's the thing. I desperately want the Packers to win, so Maggie will not be able to brag. I already formally apologized about your Cam Jurgens take. But I want Malik Willis to run all over the Titans. Here's the thing. Oh, I'm sorry. The Colts. But who are they playing?
Colts.
I'm mixing up AFC South like there's no tomorrow. I desperately like Malik Willis in his 4 starts has not been able to throw it all, but he can run. So maybe that's the formula with a backup quarterback. Switch it up. They had, in the second half against the Eagles, they ran really well with Josh Jacobs. So I'm not counting them out. And if they win, I think you owe me an apology.
Well, maybe, but, you become a little predictable.
How so?
When your quarterback can't throw the ball. I mean...
Oh, not me, Colts, Andrew Perloff. You're talking about the team.
Yeah, I mean, the Colts don't have, the most robust, dynamic defense, but I think they could probably sniff that out. Let's get to Malik Willis, who says he's in overdrive trying to learn the Packers' offense.
The reality is I just got here, so it's going to be a little bit of overdrive, not as a normal week as if I've been here the whole time, but we're definitely going to be taking it day by day and just doing what we can each day to prepare ourselves for Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Packers are learning here. They kind of blew it. You know, as much as you love to have a $200 million quarterback, you can't mess around with that backup situation. And I know that's, people are saying it's hindsight. I called it in the moment.
But they should. I mean, Sean Clifford would have been the same spread. I mean, are you saying they blew it? They maybe should have had a more experienced backup because there was nothing going. They had another quarterback there, too.
You have Sean Clifford in your building. You know he's not good enough. You've got to address that. And there are quarterbacks out there you can get that are not going to break the bank for you. You know, get guys who can hold the fort.
So you would have been okay if they signed a veteran because obviously they didn't like the guys they had in camp behind Jordan Love. That's very clear. So I don't know if you got into Joe Flacco, but... I see what you're saying, but I don't know that it really makes a huge difference. I'm not sure they had a guy who's going to come in and win a lot of games. It's hard unless you really want to pay $9 million and have a Joe Flacco sitting there.
A lot of expectations, though, on this season. You got a tough division. Every game is going to be...
Who's your Bills backup now?
It's Mitchell Trubisky, who got in for a drive last night.
Yeeks.
I'm not happy about it.